I told my wife last night, I said, I just really have no idea what I'm going to preach tomorrow. Because if you're reading in Mark, you'll realize that we are in the 13th chapter. We're dealing with this week the abomination of desolation. And those truths, those things are going to happen in the future, but I think we'll hold off a week. Let's graze a little bit. Every once in a while, I just graze through the Word of God. And sometimes I get a sermon where I do. Sometimes I just get some random thoughts. By the way, it says it'll be 11 minutes long today. Yeah. Oh, y'all are laughing. I don't know why you guys laugh over that. I'll put 35 just in case, all right, on the timer. A spiritual heart. Have you ever asked yourself, why am I not as close to God as I ought to be? Have you ever known, have you ever felt that you were growing cold and you didn't know exactly how to stop it? If you've thought those thoughts, you're not the only one. Every one of the writers in the Word of God struggled with that. There was a group of men. They were the tribe of Levi, which was the priestly tribe in the Old Testament. And these men, their job, their role was to be doorkeepers in the house of God. Many of us have heard, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God. But the psalm we're going to read today is probably written by them. Because they were doorkeepers, they weren't on the forefront. They were kind of in the background. And as you read a little bit about them and that group of men and their service to God, you have to wonder if maybe they might have felt forgotten, forsaken. Psalm 84 today. Psalm 84. If your Bible has titles in it like mine does, it says, to the chief musician. Well, who's the chief musician? God. To the chief musician upon guitar, a psalm for the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were basically the doorkeepers in the tabernacle or the temple of God. Psalm 84, right after Psalm 83. You took your shoes off, did you? Your feet hurt? All right, just checking. Right. Make yourself comfortable. Amen. Psalm 84. Let's read a couple verses. Let's see where. I have 3 points today. 3 points. So we'll get to them. Verse number one says, how amiable. How many of you ever used that word in a sentence? Really? It's like, man, I use that word all the time. Amiable. I had to look it up. Here's what it says. Here's what it means. Lovely, deserving of affection. How amiable are our tabernacles? And what's a tabernacle? Tabernacle is a dwelling place of God. Where's God supposed to dwell out today? In my heart. How amiable, how deserving of affection are the tabernacles of God, O Lord of hosts. Verse number two is a tremendous verse. It says, my soul longeth, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. He says, I want to be near to God. And I have this underlined in my Bible, this next phrase. It says, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I put one of my greatest theological thoughts beside this verse. I put W-O-W. Wow. Wow. Have you ever been there? My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Have you ever wanted a relationship with God, a closer relationship than that you have? He says, yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for a house, or for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Notice he declares, they declare my King, my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still. That's a duration. That's time. They will continue. They will be still praising thee. Selah is an Old Testament word that simply means the same as our English word, amen. So be it, if you will. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, maketh it a well. I'll explain that in a minute. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Sometimes our lives are filled with that. We go from strength to strength. We're strong. And we're walking with God and where we ought to be. And then we hit a lull. We hit a dull spot. Jesus declares, Jose and Amber, I'll get to that in a moment. I'm sorry, was that supposed to be one of those up there? No, okay, good. I saw, okay, all right. I said the only time we recognize you guys is whenever a mistake is made. But they go from strength to strength. Sometimes we're strong and we hit a lull. And then we realize that we're there, and our lives are not a life that's lived on the mountaintop, down in the valley also. But you know, it's a long journey from the valley to the mountaintop sometimes. Boy, it's a quick journey from the mountaintop to the valley, amen? I can run downhill a lot faster than I can walk uphill. Strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Sounds like a plea to me. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. A little boy was asked one time how he could explain victory over the devil. He says, well, the way I got it figured, there are two men that live in my heart. There's Adam, the old nature, the old man, and Jesus. So if the devil knocks on the door of my heart, I'll just ask Jesus to answer. Actually, that's not very far away. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, I don't remember what all I put up on the slides, Amber, so if I get there, you can click it. If not, that's okay. For the Spirit lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, the things that I want to do, I don't find myself doing them. The things that I don't want to do, boy, I find myself doing those. That's Hobson paraphrase, by the way. He says, they're contrary, so that you cannot do the things that you would or that you want. The Bible says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's look at a spiritual heart today. I think there are three things that we need if we're going to have spiritual hearts. We're moving from strength to strength. Three things. Number one, there's got to be a desire for God. Got to be a desire for him. We see in verse number one, back up again, it says, how amiable. The word means lovely, worthy of love, deserving affection. Usually, it's applied only to persons, except for in this verse in the Bible. But I believe it's still applied to a person, and that person is God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. First of all, we see the place of God. Tabernacle, the dwelling place of God. David longed not only to know God, the sons of Korah not only longed to know God, but they together long to build the temple. At this point, they're still having a tabernacle to worship in, a tent, if you will. Solomon, David's son, later on would build the temple. It would take 7 years to make. It would involve over 150,000 workers, and it would cost upwards to $5 billion to create. David wanted to make it, but God says, you are a man of war. You've shed too much blood. You'll not be able to do it. But he still longed for it. But he didn't necessarily long for the temple building itself. Here's what he longed for. The fellowship and worship with God. You know what you and I need to desire today? The fellowship and worship with God. Sometimes I meet people, sometimes I've watched over these last long 14, 15, 16 months. People say, well, I can worship God and stay close to God really without church. And I believe the spiritual heart longs to gather and fellowship with God's people. There's something about it. There's something about singing. Listen, you can sing all you want by yourself at home, but there was something this morning about the song service. Tremendous today. Amber's song was perfect. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's perfect for me, and I'm glad for it. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know about you, but there ought to be a joy about coming and being with God's people. We get to sing together. We get to fellowship together. We get to pray together. We get to worship together. We get to give together. We get to see what God can do. By the way, we gave several months ago the money from the land rent from the back of the property where the farmers farm on. I forget how much it was, $2,000 or $3,000. And we gave that to Tim and Ingrid Ingram to buy land down in Brazil. We support them monthly, $100 a month. And some people give a little extra here and there, so it goes to them. And they were able, they're in the process of they've purchased the property. They're acquiring an architect. Now they're getting ready to build a building on that. You know what? Can I tell you something? God is still working. They've been praying about maybe erecting a tent and having just a series of meetings there. But right now they're meeting in the pastor's home. God gave them a perfect place where it's got an area where a growing church can meet right now until they get it all built. And they're in Brazil, so they're locked down, kind of like most of the blue states. Some of you don't know. Or Canada even. It's amazing how they're still locking people down over this. By the way, another pastor was arrested this last week in Canada for holding services. That's not too far from us, mile-wise and philosophically-wise. Back to Brazil. Brazil, they're locked down. They were praying, God, what are we going to do? How are we going to reach the masses of this town? A radio station found out about the new church. They saw a sign. A church, I think, I forget where the church is at, maybe North Carolina. They gave money. Tim had sent out something and asked people, said, look, we'd like to put a sign up on the property. So a church somewhere gave a large amount of money. So they put a large sign up. A radio owner drove by and saw the sign. He called the pastor and said, hey, we have an opening 5 days a week on our radio station, and we'd like for you to take 15 or 20 minutes a day, every day, and preach the gospel on our radio station. By the way, our radio station reaches everyone in this city and for about 50 miles outside of it. Wow. I'm like, wow. I was reading that letter this week, and I thought, wow. Sometimes we don't see what God's doing, but can I tell you something? God's still working. Sometimes I want to ask people that say, well, you know, I'm not going to go there anymore. I found another church. Sometimes I just want to take them to the missionary list and say, hey, can you tell me which one of these missionaries I need to contact and tell them we can't support them anymore? Our actions have consequences, both good and bad. Whenever you give, it's amazing what God can do with that. The place of God. Where does God hold a place in our lives? He says, how lovely, how desiring of affection, or deserving of affection, are thy tabernacles where you dwell at. God, help me to fall in love with you. I don't want to see the place of God, but I also see the person of God. Look at it in verse number 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Here it is. Here's the wow statement. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Here's where we put the verse at, Amber. Jesus said in Mark 12:30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. I remember reading a story years ago. A man told R.A. Torrey, one of the great evangelists of the past, they told him, he said, I've never committed a sin. And so R.A. Torrey quoted this verse to him. And he asked him, he said, every breathing moment of your adult life, have you obeyed this verse? The man said, of course not. Nobody could. He said, then you need to understand this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as the train was pulling away, the man said, how can I be saved? And R.A. Torrey told him, the man bowed his head as the train was pulling out of the station, and he trusted Jesus as a Savior, and that man went on to preach the gospel. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. The only way to know God, you say, okay, how do I develop a desire to know God? How do I do that? I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I told you we'd graze a little bit, and I told you that it said it was only 11 minutes. Listen for the grazing part, but don't worry about the 11-minute part. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. You say, how do I develop a desire for God? Read the Word of God. You said, I don't understand it. Read it again. The Bible is the only book in all the world that the author resides within you. He will teach you the truth. By the way, a verse that you have trouble with, probably all the rest of us don't understand it either. But there are so many common verses. There are so many verses that the Spirit just puts His finger on. Psalm 119, let's walk through this a little bit. I'm not going to read all 176 verses. Verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want a clean path? Obey the word of God. How do I obey the word of God? I read it. Verse number 11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse number 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Verse number 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. He says, the Word of God, I'm beginning to delight in the Word of God because I'm reading the Word of God. And the Word of God is becoming my counselor. At first, you may not have the taste for it, but keep on. God, open it up. It's like eating healthy food. As you continue to do it, you'll be amazed at what God will do. He'll change your taste buds. The problem is we snack on the world. Get away from the news. They're all liars. They're all fake. All they want to do is drag you through the muck and the mire. I'm tired of walking down there. I want to walk on the hilltops. Verse number 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Devoted. Verse 47, remember in Psalm 119, here the page is turning, great. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. Read the word of God. Verse 50, this is my comfort and my affliction. Oh, have you ever been there before? How many have been afflicted? Don't look at your spouse. Man. Or your children. It's like, yes, I've been afflicted 3 times. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. You know what the word quickened means? Made alive. You know what your affliction will do? It'll kill you. It'll deaden your soul. It'll deaden your mind. It'll deaden your heart. It'll deaden your joy. Everything. Read the word of God, it'll quicken you. It'll make you alive again. Let's see. Verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I have a couple of these in here. I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 77. He says, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed. By the way, he's not talking about somebody else. He's talking about us. Let me be ashamed of my pride. Verse 78, for they have dealt perversely with me without a cause. Look at the end of this. But I'll meditate in thy precepts. You know what we need to do? We need to think on the Word of God. Think on it. That's the reason why everybody here, if you don't have one, now don't take one out of the pew. We've got some out there in the hallway on the little table. If you don't have a hymn book at home, you need to have one. Just open it up and just read. You say, I can't sing. The words are great. I sing and my dog start howling. I don't care. All heaven is moved and my soul is moved. I try to sing real quiet though, because Miss Tina's usually still sleeping. Verse 92, unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Whoa. He says, unless I'd loved the Word of God, he said, guess what? My affliction would have destroyed me. There's not one in this room that's lived any years that hasn't faced that. Verse 97, it says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. I mean, he's talking about law. He's not talking about, oh, I'm going to meditate on thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's not what he's talking about. The law here is a reference simply to the Word of God. Pick a verse out that means something to you and commit that thing to memory. And then once you've committed to memory, commit it to meditation. Meditation means you're going to pull that thing out of your mind and you're going to pull it down into your heart. Just kind of work that thing through. That's what meditation is. Verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The way that happens is just continually eating on the Word of God, just reading the Word of God. Thy word, verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse number 114, you say he's getting closer to the end. Yes, I am. 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I'm not saying any of you are simple. But I am. I'm amazed at how the Word of God will give you understanding. It'll give you understanding about people, places, things, events. Verse 140. Here it is. Here's a great verse. Thy word is very pure. Have you ever noticed the Word of God is pure? The Word of God deals with some very ugly scenes. But you know what it doesn't stir up? It never stirs up an illicit thought or feeling or desire. It talks about some very vile things. But it does it in such a way that it's pure. It will not ever, the Bible will never lead you into sin in any shape, matter, or form. Never. Where am I at? 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches. Have you ever had trouble falling asleep? He says, mine eyes prevent. He says, I just can't seem to close my eyes and go to sleep. Have prevented the night watches. That I might meditate in thy word. If you can't sleep, get up and read the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God on your phone. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the hymns. Verse 162, he says, I rejoice in my word as one that findeth great spoil. Verse 165, here it is. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Whoa. Man, we need to put that over the entire crazy, stupid council culture today. But that's not what the word offend means there. You know what the word offend means right there? To cause to stumble or fall. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing that you do will cause me to stumble or fall. Do you realize that you and I are responsible for our own actions and our own thoughts? 176, last one. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. How do you develop a desire for God? Grace through the Word of God. Just read the Word of God. Just read it. Read Psalms. David cries out in that. You're struggling? Read that. You're praising? Read it. David, he goes from strength to strength. Number one. Number two. The spiritual heart. Oh, I'm down to 1 minute. The spiritual heart delights in the ways of God. The ways of God. Look at it in verse number 5, back Psalm 84. Verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of thee. The sons of Korah write here that their heart is given over to God. Their heart is fixed on the ways of God. Their heart is fixed on the will of God. Our human nature is to focus on a targeted goal. It's like whenever we go on vacation, 9 times out of 10, you can talk to the man that's just gotten back from vacation. Here's what they're going to say. I drove it in 12 hours. It only took me 9 hours to drive there. That's their target. That's their goal. Sometimes if we're not careful in developing a spiritual heart, we'll act like it's something we need to conquer. Having a spiritual heart is not something we need to conquer. Having a spiritual heart is something we need to continue. Here's a verse for you. Hebrews 12. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews 12, 2. There's three little words. Looking unto Jesus. That's it. I'm going to take my eyes off of this and I'm going to look unto Jesus. Their heart was fixed on the way of God and the will of God. What's the will of God for my life? Well, that I not be conformed to the image of this world, but I be conformed to the image of Christ. That I give thanks in everything. That's the will of God. That I would abstain from fornication. The idea there is to develop a pure life. How do I do that? The Word of God. Number three today, the spiritual heart delights in the ways of God. Here's the last one. The spiritual heart is delivered by God. Go back with me to verse number 6. I told you I'd explain this. I'm going to explain this verse when we're done. It says, read in context, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Whenever the pilgrims, whenever the Jewish folks once a year would make their way to the tabernacle for their yearly sacrifice, on their way they would go through the valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca was a dry, desolate area. But God said, in this verse right here, He said, whenever you're passing through this dry, desolate place, He said, you make it a well. And the reason why is because the rain also filleth the pools. God says, it may look dry and desolate. But if you'll stay focused on me, that dry, desolate land will become a well-watered plain for you. In the driest times of your life, God will provide exactly what you need. And all God's people said, most of us have experienced that because we've been delivered from the valleys. And then notice how we are. Verse number 8, O Lord God of hosts, here he goes, hear my prayer. Sometimes it takes a trial to teach us to bring us back to prayer. Hammer, put the William Carey quote up there, please. William Carey was a great missionary to India. He didn't realize he was a great missionary, but he was. He said this, prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all godliness. And the idea of godliness there is not, you know, you'll become so holy that everybody else will look and say, wow, what a holy person. No, no. The idea of godliness there is that intimate, close relationship with Jesus Christ. Of course, the only way we can experience that is through prayer, through the Word of God. And the greatest deliverance that anyone can ever have is not through the valley of despair or affliction, but being delivered from sin. The Bible says this, for the wages of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. I guess I have to ask this question today. Last slide, I think, Amber. Do I have a spiritual heart? Am I in a place right now where I'm desiring God? You might be struggling. You might be, but am I desiring God? You say, I don't know how to do that. Yeah, you do. Just read the Word of God. You don't have to read big portions of it. Read it until a verse touches your heart. And then stop. Remember, the goal isn't to conquer. The goal is to converse with the God of the universe. The goal is to allow Him to change us from the inside out. So you read the Word of God and you hit a verse and you just say, how many have ever been reading your Bible and you kind of hit one and you say, huh? How many have been there before? It may be a word you don't understand. You've got to look it up. Look at the word. Ask God, what does that mean there? Begin to meditate on that thing. Put it as a screensaver on your phone. So every time you pull up your phone 500 million times a day, there it is. Maybe not the whole verse, maybe just a word, and you're thinking, do I have a spiritual heart? Am I delighting in the ways of God, both the good ways and what I call the bad ways? Have I been delivered? First of all, am I saved? Do I know for sure if I were to die right now that I'd go to heaven? You say yes. Okay, number two. Do I realize that no matter where I'm at in my walk with God, He's there with me? He's delivering me. He's carrying me through this. Do I have a spiritual heart? I guess I could have put the question this, like this. Do I want a spiritual heart? Well, I've even been there before. A.W. Tozer wrote a book. By the way, if you've never written the book, The Pursuit of God, every Christian ought to. In that book, he makes a statement. He makes a quote. He said, sometimes we just simply have to pray, God, help me to want. Well, let me back up. How many have ever asked God, God, help me to want You? You know what, Tozer? He even went one step farther because he spoke of things that are real. He said this. He said, sometimes the Christian, the believer, is at a point where they have to pray, God, help me to want to even want You again. We've been there sometimes. Do I have a spiritual heart? Do I want one? I don't know. Should I as a Christian? Of course. Then maybe your prayer ought to be, God, help me to want to have a spiritual heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning.